We get things underway by welcoming back to the program the president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. She's the author of a number of books. Last time around, we talked with her about her wonderful book, Animal Kind. She is back with a new one entitled 250 Vital Things Your Cat Wants You to Know, an essential guide. And we welcome Ingrid Newkirk to the program. Ingrid, welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Rich. Thanks for having me back.
Wonderful to have you back with us. I'm not a cat guardian myself, but I have lots of friends who are, including my producer. And so I loved reading the book and getting lots of great information. Starting with the realization, you remind us that cats were doing just fine without us.
They were. But, of course, then we put up a lot of highways. A lot of traffic is out there. And there are a lot of other hazards that they're not in the countryside anymore, most of them. So we have to make sure that they're safe, that they're at home, that they're not in jeopardy, and so on.
When you bring a cat into your home and make it their home as well, there are a lot of things to keep in mind. And one of the first things is giving them a room with a view, creating something for them to entertain themselves with on a regular basis.
Well, yes. I mean, cats are professional bird watchers, so they need to look outside. And it can be as simple as just drag a bureau up to the window and put a piece of carpeting or a towel or something comfy on top of it. Or you can get a very elaborate cat tree, or you can make these or buy these cat slings that you stick on the window so they can look out. And if it's not the sort of place where there are birds, if you can stick a bird feeder outside the window, that's endless enjoyment. But they shouldn't be outside. And I know a lot of people think, oh, well, they want to be outside. But outside you have dogs can attack them and they go up trees. And then they don't have a rotating ankle the way a squirrel does, which allows him to come back down quickly. They get stuck up there, and they really are stuck up there. They're too afraid to come down. And they, you know, they're curious, so they poke their heads into storm drains, and then water gushes past, and they're gone. And there are bad people out there, and they get parasites and things from eating birds who don't want to be eaten in the first place, or other little animals. So keeping them inside and making their life indoors as rich as possible is really important.
And there are hazards outside, as you mentioned, but also some right around the house and some hazards that we may not think of as dangerous, but they could be to cats.
Yes, it's true. And in fact, now that we're going into the holiday season, you have to be aware of some things. People may give you a poinsettia plant, or you may be thinking, oh, I'll bring those home. And any plant that has a heart-shaped leaf can be dangerous to a cat. They'll nibble on it, and then their tongues swell, and they have difficulty breathing. If you're in a situation like that, I mean, you need to get to the vet, rather a vet than a regret. But also keep the poison control center number on your fridge and on your phone. And with your permission, I'll give it.
Please do.
It's 855-764-7661. That's 855-764-7661. If your cat is poisoned, and there are things that you don't necessarily think about, like a pine-based cleaner, which is toxic to cats, or conventional antifreeze, which can actually kill them, they are very attracted to it for some reason, you need to get, while you're thinking of, you know, ringing the vet, trying to find out if they're open, try to get some warm, soapy water down their throats, because that will help. And I always recommend people keep a little potion called Rescue Remedy. You can buy it online or at any natural chemist, or whatever you call them these days. And it's Rescue Remedy will actually calm them a little bit. But there are lots of hazards in the home. For example, if you've got guests over for the holidays and you have a fold-out couch or a fold-out bed, before you fold it back up again, if you've got a cat in the house, put your hand down the back and make sure that there's no cat there, because they love to crawl into these quiet, secure, warm places. And so, you know, dryers too, before you press the start switch on the dryer, you don't want to be going up the steps and hear thump, thump, thump and think it's a pair of sneakers and it isn't. They love to get into the dryer.
Now, in terms of your cat's overall health, there are a lot of things you can do. Pay attention to teeth and gums. Keep them, if you can, free from periodontal disease. And then making sure that those claws are in good shape as well. Well, what's the best approach to that? Because in my encounters with the cats that I've been friends with through the years, they're not all that excited about me checking on their claws.
No, I think all animals are a little cautious about their paws. They're very sensitive because they use their paws for everything. They're like our fingers, of course, and so they don't really want you messing around with them. But if you've got a kitten, that's the ideal time to start getting them used to gentle touch of the claws so that for the rest of their lives, you can take a nail clipper. There are ones for dogs and cats. And I show a diagram in the book where you cut, so you blunt that nail, so there's no hook on it, so it can't catch the material on the couch. Of course, if you love your couch more than you love a cat, don't get a cat. But cats have got to scratch. It's natural for them. They stretch their back muscles. They get in shape from scratching, so they need to scratch. You can and must, really. If clip the claws, and if you are worried about doing it, wait till they're at the vet for something and then have the vet do it when they're knocked out, getting their teeth cleaned or getting some other procedure. But it has to be done gently. Get a scratching post. There are wonderful cheap ones that are cardboard. You can get a sisal post, or you can go to the woods, pick up a stump, bang it about to get the insects out, leave it outside for a couple of days so that they evict themselves. Then bring it in, put it on a piece of paper, and let them scratch. If they still go to the couch, very gently, because cats are emotional creatures. They don't like to be insulted. Very gently pick them up and put them where they're supposed to scratch. And then if you need to, you can spray a little bit of peppermint or any kind of mint or a little bit of lime or lemon on that part of the couch. And we will like the smell, but cats don't like it. Never, ever, ever declaw. Because that is not just taking out the claw. Mm. If you look at your fingers, it's taking that whole first top part of each digit, which is muscle and tendon and bone, and they will never be the same again.
We're talking with Ingrid Newkirk here on Downtown Now. My producer and co-host, Carrie, he and his family are moving to New Orleans next fall, and they've got to figure out how to take their cat, Jeffrey, with them. You've got a wonderful chapter on travel. How can you make that process easier for everybody involved?
Well, it's no fun. Cats don't like to move. Everything like that frightens them because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't like strangers necessarily. They don't like you to leave the house. They want you to stay at home all the time, and they certainly don't like leaving. If you must fly with the cat, then never, ever go into the put him in the cargo section. Jeffrey needs to be in a carrier that's secure, that's under the seat. Not all airlines allow this, but many do. So under the seat is the only way. In cargo, baggage shifts, temperatures fluctuate, cats get frantic, they claw and push and somehow get out of that carrier. And I only know one case, which I talk about in the book, where the cat was retrieved. So if you've got them in the car, then just be sure they're microchipped. All cats should be microchipped anyway, in case they slip out of the door. They're in a harness, which if something happens, it's easier to grab them. And they're in a carrier. And then cover the carrier with, say, a pillowcase or some light piece of cotton so they can breathe, but they can't see the other cars and the trees going by them, which upsets them and makes them frightened. And be very careful. They must be in the carrier at all times because you roll down the window at a toll booth, you know, you step out of the car at the gas station, a car backfires, something, they're gone. So just have to be extremely careful in transporting them and then keep them safely locked up inside the new digs until they have properly adjusted to where they are.
You've got a wonderful chapter on deciphering cat communication. As you point out, most of us humans are not smart enough to learn cat. So what can we do to improve communications?
Well, it's really funny, Rich, because most people don't realize that cats don't talk to each other. They don't make sounds to each other. They only, usually, there are exceptions to everything, but usually they only talk to you. So if the cat is making a sound, that's the cat trying to talk to you. But cats have to be very clever because, as you say, you know, they don't talk your language and you don't understand theirs. So if you go on the internet, you will see a lot of videos where people are getting a little miffed because the cat is pushing away their iPhone or sleeping on their keyboard when they're trying to work. Or when they're trying to sleep, the cat is getting up on a height and jumping down on top of them. In fact, one of my colleague's cats sticks his claw up her nostril to wake her up. And what they're trying to say is, you've got friends, you've got things to do, you're on the internet, you go in and out of the house, I'm here. And I need your attention. You know, I'm not a potted plant. I am a member of your family, and I would like you to appreciate the fact that I need your affection and your time, and I need to play with you.
Now, cats also will not tell you when they're not feeling well, when they may be injured. So there are some things that you can do, and you've got a wonderful checklist of really daily reminders, things that you can check out on your friend to make sure that they're doing well, because they're not likely to raise their paw and say, I don't feel great.
It's true. You know, a dog will probably whine or cry or bark or do things to let you know. A cat is very subtle. And a cat, being an emotional being, will hold things in and try to protect themselves, won't give you that signal. There is one thing they do, though, sometimes, and people get angry, and they should never get angry at a cat, but they may do their business outside the box. And even on a bed or in a bath or something like that, your tub. And people think, what on earth? But that's a form of communication. And they may be saying, I am ill. I have cystitis, which is very painful, can be fatal in cats. And you might see a little drop of blood in the urine, which if they went in the box, you wouldn't see. You would never know. Or it could be that they're upset with you, that you're not cleaning the box properly, or you've got a partner who pushes them off the bed or the couch or doesn't really like them, or you've taken up dance lessons or yoga or something and you're going out and about a lot. A pandemic lockdown lifted and there you are, you're never there. So they're trying to get through to you. Everything they do is an attempt to communicate with you. When they squish their little eyes closed at you, that's telling you I love you. When the question mark appears on their tail, that's telling you I'm happy. If their tail is thumping a bit, it means leave me alone. I may not be feeling well, or I'm not in the mood for whatever you're doing.
Now, the aforementioned Jeffrey, we're trying to figure this one out. Maybe you can help Carrie decipher this. Jeffrey caught a mouse in the house, brought it to Carrie in his mouth, and then as soon as Carrie saw what was going on, that's when Jeffrey decided to dispatch the poor mouse when he had an audience.
Yeah, I mean, Jeffrey was trying to give a beautiful present in his mind to the person he loves. He's like, look what I've brought you. And it's terribly sad. But yes, he was trying to show that he's special and he's strong and he's a good hunter and he's all those things. And I'm giving you this precious gift. So it was really a compliment that we don't want.
There you go, Carrie. I hope you enjoyed your gift.
Yeah, but you know, it was a moment.
The other way, I mentioned that cats never like you to leave. They want you to stay all the time. Father Christmas goes out once a year. For a cat, that's too much. Everybody should stay home. But when you go out, you should always come back with a gift. And by that I mean, because cats are really cheap dates, you can bring back a leaf or a feather or anything, and you just make a big fuss and you say, look, I bought this for you. They will know what you're saying. They will know that you have bought this for them, and they'll be very proud and pleased, and they might forgive you for going out.
The book is 250 Vital Things Your Cat Wants You to Know. It is a wonderful book for cats and the people in their lives. Ingrid Newkirk, thank you so much for visiting with us once again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Rich, and happy halls.
And the same to you as well.